You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Rehab, we are back again for another Saturday to talk and share our experience, strength, and hope about substance abuse with you. And I have a guest that was here with us a year ago also when we started Radio Rehab, Robert. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Lisa.
How are you? Good to see you.
Good to be back.
Robert's got 21 years of sobriety from alcoholism, and when I say to him, how have you gone 21 years, he always says, well, I owe it all to not drinking. That's pretty cool.
That's just one day at a time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Marvelline has called on the black community and minority community to really look at substance abuse as the killer cancer in the community, and she was on last week talking and really wanting to call on the pastors as well in the community to address the issue. And as a result of that show, somebody wrote a two-page letter that is a very compassionate, respectful letter. Thank you for this letter, whoever wrote it. And I want to read the first paragraph, and Robert and I were discussing it a little ahead of time, and we're going to discuss it more with you and see what you all think about it. Please feel free to call in also if you want to add any advice to us about how to help with this issue or anything that we need to do from our end. But here's the letter. It says, Lisa, in defense to black pastors, their training is in God's love, Bible, God's teachings, encouragement, console any drama in our lives. Examples could be to encourage the substance abusers at times of court cases, jail visits, car accidents, divorce, job loss, sickness, death. Pastors are not trained in substance abuse, and they don't know the numbers of people. They know that the numbers are high, but they don't have any idea who those people are in their churches. Until they're discovered in the prison systems or in the court systems, many pastors don't know and aren't educated about it. Wow, thank you for this letter. You know, Marvelline did mention that education is a key, and Robert and I were saying, do you have to get busted and end up in prison before people realize you have a problem?
You know, as you were reading that, I was reflecting upon my experience with the church and being a recovering person myself. And I was thinking along the lines, I don't know if the pastors or preachers need to be so much educated about the numbers, because the alcoholism and the drug addiction affects every area of our lives today. And there are many people in the churches, whether or not they are the actual user, are affected by the addiction. And I think there needs to be some education as far as that goes, to the pastor, to the point where they can address that issue, not necessarily as a individual that's using or drinking, but on the basis of, okay, what about the families that are getting affected by the addiction? What can I get across to them to help them to deal with it as well?
Like in a general way, how it affects the families, is there a way in the churches to relate it to the Bible? If a pastor's main job is to teach the Bible and how to live according to the Bible, does alcoholism fit in any of that?
Well, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not going to try to tell you what's in the Bible and all that. I do know that from my own readings and listening to other pastors, there's a part of the Bible that talks about there was an alcoholic mentioned in the Bible, it's part of the Bible that the very seven gets talked about, because I think it's in the Old Testament, and you don't hear much about that, at least I don't, in church these days. But if it's in the Bible, why can't it be addressed in the church
services?
Yeah. If there are alcoholics in the Bible, then there's some more to say. Then, there's probably alcoholics in our congregation. Or these are people that are affected by the addiction.
Sure. And it seems that the person that wrote this letter was really saying, wait a minute, let's understand that a lot of people don't know how to address this. We in the rooms of AA have learned our language, but people outside of those rooms maybe don't really know how to even approach us.
And I think that's true. As you and I were talking earlier, I also think the pastor to some degree has a hard time, because there's so much things, so many things in the world today have changed from the past. And we want to address the new generation in the church. You deliver a message to them, but at the same time, you have the potential of the old generation not willing to accept what you're talking about in the church. They want to hear that old-time religion. They don't want to hear about, we're not going to talk about drugs or alcohol today because, it's not what we're here for. But the wrongdoings are wrongdoings either way you look at it, and we need to get from our sins back into, God's will. And whatever we need to talk about to do that, I think is appropriate for the churches.
So, Robert, do you think maybe you and I, especially in our friends that are in the rooms, the 12-step rooms of AA and NA, maybe need to personally introduce ourselves to our ministers and rabbis, let them know we're in recovery, let them know we're able to do a 12-step call if they need it, and what a 12-step call even is?
Well, I personally, the church that I attend, the pastor knows that I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I don't have a problem with anybody in the church at all knowing that I am.
Has he ever called on you to go talk to somebody?
No, he hasn't, no.
You know who 12-stepped me? My rabbi. Really, he brought Harry Goldman to visit me at St. Mary's. I'd OD'd.
Yes.
And he brought a recovering person to talk to me.
And that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on, I think we have a caller. Good morning. Hello? Are you there, caller? Maybe not. So once we do go say to our rabbi or minister, we're in recovery, then I guess it's up to them to utilize us in that way.
Yes, it is. But, as you, the letter you were reading, it talks about, we realize that ministers are very busy people. And some of them have a lot of time to devote specifically to the addiction things or what's going on in their church, unless somebody comes to them personally and says, okay, Pastor,
I need help.
And then, that pastor could say, okay, Robert, would you come and talk with me to this person? Mm-hmm. My pastor knows that I'm available to do this anytime. He would ask me.
Yes.
No problem with that. But apparently he hasn't had anybody come to him, or he's on that some other way.
Well, and then you said the stigma, especially in the black community, to say I have a problem with alcohol or drugs to your ministers, like, oh my God, a sentence to disaster. Wait, is there a caller here? I don't think so. So there's still that stigmatosis.
I still believe there is. That's what I still see in our community, or in my community right now.
People are judged.
Right, yeah.
How do you change that, I guess?
I don't know. I'm very happy because I'm recovering. Like I said, many people in the church I attend knows I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I don't find them to be offensive or to treat me different or to look down upon me or anything else because, they're there trying to do God's work and I'm there trying to do God's will.
Right.
And so it doesn't become a big issue. It's not a big issue with me for them to know that I'm recovering. In fact, it should make the individual feel better to be able to go into church and say, I'm here and I'm becoming an alcoholic. God's bringing me to get back here.
Yes.
And the AA program or whatever, NA program, whatever they're in, it's helping me to stay clean and sober and in God's will today.
Maybe you just hit on something. You're right. Maybe our role is to help them understand God brought us, God helped us stay clean and sober and brought us back here to carry this message and help the ministers maybe understand where to send people so that...
That's true, yes.
Yeah. I mean, church can't be the only source. If it's really an illness, it has to be treated as an illness.
That's great, and I believe that. As you and I discussed earlier, for some reason here lately, I ran into a lot of people that have been in recovery for a period of time, and I say recovery to the point of they're not drinking or using. I think the misconception a lot also is that recovery, everybody thinks if I don't drink and I don't use, I'm in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the thing about recovery I come to learn is it's more than not drinking, not using. The one thing you come across is a lot of people now are going to church and saying, okay, I'm going to church and getting to recovery and everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I could not do that because I need to be able to communicate with someone that understands where I'm coming from when I'm talking about my addiction, when I'm talking about my feelings, how I deal with certain situations. that the normal, as we say, normal people, our regular pastors or whatever, individuals, don't have that expertise. They don't have that education.
Right.
Because they never had to deal with that feeling. They never had to be in them situations with the mind of an alcoholic or an addict.
Yeah, they don't know what relapse feels like. They've never relapsed.
Right, you know. And if they ask our word, say, you should be able to do this, it's easy and all that. Our minds are not that way. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are not that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need somebody to be able to sit down with us, tell us what we need to do on a daily basis, because I've been there.
Right.
I've done that.
They can see through our stuff.
I've been through that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's hard for the layman out there to relate to that.
That's true.
The bad thing about it, most people that don't understand addiction says, you should be able to just quit.
Right, or I'll pray for you.
Yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, you know, sometimes I need somebody to hit me in the rear end and make me do something.
Exactly, take some action.
Yeah. What? I need somebody to motivate me.
Kick my butt,
but
yeah.
Thank you.
What's that saying? If you pray for potatoes, you've still got to get the hoe.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Well, in the drug courts, and we haven't been challenged on this yet, I dread the day, and I'm sure my judge does too, that we have people come and say, well, I'm going to church 3 days a week, I want to replace that for my 12-step meetings. And we say, no, you can't replace that for your 12-step meetings any more than you could replace your cobalt treatment if you had cancer. But I know people feel like they should be able to, if they want to go to church every day, count that as their recovery meeting,
right? Yeah.
And they fight us on that.
Well, I've ran into a lot of people. In fact, I ran into a gentleman that had years in so-called recovery. He came into the program over 10 years ago. He didn't drink a drug, and he started going to church. He quit going to 12-step meetings, things like that, quit working the steps. And he said, well, I'm going to go to church, and God, the religious part of the program, is going to take care of that.
Mm.
And he relapsed.
And he really believed that, probably,
he really
too.
Did. Yeah, yeah. But see, the thing that I've never been able to experience by going to church is have someone to teach me on a daily basis what I need to do with my feelings and my situations,
mm-hmm.
with my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Because when I come to AA rooms or NA rooms or whatever, somebody would say, Robert, you got a problem. What is it? This is what you do with it.
Your problem's between your ears.
Right,
it's
yeah.
not with that person. Yeah.
No. And here's the action I want you to take.
Yeah.
Then the decision's mine to make.
Yes.
But,
it's more of an action plan, the 12-step programs.
You know,
that's true.
Is, yeah.
Yes.
I believe, for me, God works through people in my life. But that person, when I have a problem or situation or a feeling, that person needs to be able to tell me what to do with it and what to do about it.
Yes.
You know, how do I go about giving it away? How do I go about getting rid of it?
Yes.
Do I talk about it? Do I pray about it? Do I go and do some other action?
Somebody helps you sort it out.
Right. You know, what is the action I take behind the feelings and things?
Yeah, we don't hear too much in synagogues and churches about our self-centeredness, which is the root of our problems. Yes. Let's see if we have a caller again. This is getting to be confusing. Are you there, caller? Hello? Hello? Is there a caller on the air? Sorry for all these interruptions. Something's not working. Somebody's trying to call and ask us a question, Robert, but we're not getting it in here.
Would be nice. That's how we're to talk all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Are you there? Well, I guess what they're wanting to know then is you can't really, I guess, differentiate between what a church and a pastor can give to a recovering person. It takes a village. It takes the churches to help, too. But this person that wrote the letter is saying, try to be gentle on the reality that a lot of people don't really understand how to communicate with us, or that this is even going on.
Right, and I agree with the writer. You know, it's hard to bring this into, say, a sermon to get across to the people in the church.
Yeah,
because you're always going to have that stigma of people saying we don't want to hear about alcohol and drugs in the church. It's not the proper place. It's not this, that, and the other.
Is that true?
It's not true as far as I feel it's not true.
Right.
No, because whatever my affliction is, God's going to help me with it. And if you can't bring all my afflictions into the church and say, okay, God's going to help you with it no matter what it is, then what's my purpose of being in the church? You know, because we know God will take care of it. You know,
right.
So what's wrong with you addressing it as to what it is?
Do they address divorces in the church? Do they address death in the church and grieving? Do they address marriage? I mean, my God, real life stuff is... discussed in the churches, isn't it? It's not like alcoholism is some foreign leprosy they're bringing in.
Well, I agree with you. You know, it's funny to me. I mean, I hear a lot of sermons and things, and it's usually the only time death is addressed is when death happens, or marriage is addressed is when somebody's lost somebody or something like that, you know.
That's true.
But the thing...
Not a lot of prevention.
Yeah, right, you know. Do we talk about the family situation sometimes that maybe would help prevent the alcohol or drug addiction to start with?
Just talk generally to the families.
Right, yes.
About
the
community, families in the community, and weave it in that way without calling it out.
Yes, you know, we want the church members always to go out and work in the public, but at the same time, it seems like a lot of times the stigma is, I want to work outside of church, but I want to work within a church setting. Well, you know, God went to where the people were out here and worked with them.
And the most oppressed.
Right. You know,
yeah.
So if I want to help the people in my community, I need to be down here on the corner where the people are.
That's true. You know? That's true.
So it's always easy to say, okay, let's go do it.
And then do it. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break for a second. Sorry for the inability to get you callers. If you call, you could write Allison in the front, who takes care of us back here, could write your question down and bring it back till we get this fixed. But we're going to take a break for a minute. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you been injured? Contact an Indiana or Kentucky injury lawyer at Woods & Woods today. Our firm is a family business that cares about people and is dedicated to the exclusive representation of injured people who need professional legal help in Kentucky and Indiana. Our main office is located in Evansville, Indiana, but we also have an office in Owensboro, Kentucky. Woods & Woods, Kentucky and Indiana injury lawyers focus on injury cases, including auto and truck accidents, boating accidents, drunk driving accidents, nursing home abuse, slip and fall, social security disability, workers' compensation, wrongful death, and more. Contact Woods & Woods injury lawyers today, toll-free at 1-800-544-2108. Complete a free consultation form online at www.woodslawyers.com. Call us today for an immediate and confidential evaluation of your case, toll-free at 1-800-544-2108. If you've been injured, you always have a family to turn to. Call an injury lawyer at the Woods & Woods family today at 1-800-544-2108. That's Woods & Woods injury lawyers working for you.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab, everybody. Robert, who has 21 years sobriety and helped us kick this show off a year ago, is our guest again today. And we got a letter at Radio Rehab from somebody asking us to consider other ways to educate and notify the community about what to do with people that are suffering with alcoholism and drug addiction. So that's kind of what we're talking about. Robert, how do we let people know where they can go to get help? I guess we should get the church's list of meetings. And
I think that would be very helpful. You know, I know for me personally, since, you know, I've been talking about this today, I was thinking about, you know, getting all the information I can and taking it to the pastor of my church, you know, and then talk with them, and then maybe we can find some way of getting this information out to all the churches, you know, about what program is this for, you know, to get these individuals help, or some phone numbers, maybe they can just call somebody. They want to talk about it, you know. That way, you know, if you don't want to expose yourself, you want to call me and say, my name is John or something, I just need to talk to you, that's fine. That's why, you know, I'm in recovery. That's what
hello?
I need to do.
Oh, hello, caller. Hello. Sorry, I didn't hear the ring. Welcome.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
My name is James Mays.
Hi.
I'm listening to the program this morning.
Hi, James.
Hey, Ron. How you be, my brother?
All right.
Good. And, you know, I've been doing a program at Mount Olive County Baptist Church for the last 8 years.
I've heard about your program, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. Great.
Yeah, thank you. I give all glory to God, you know.
There you go.
Right. But listening to your semi-topic this morning, and I really was getting into it, you know, and being around in this city here and dealing in recovery for the last 8 years, I've found out that some of the problems that we're having with our churches is that our pastors don't really announce what's going on in the recovery community from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a big problem, even at our church, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That they need, you know, we got people in the congregation that's afflicted with the disease of addiction. Whatever the nature of the disease is, a lot of them are afflicted with it.
You're right.
And people just won't speak up and answer. But if they gear it into a certain direction to know that it's helpful for them, they get an opportunity to come out of the closet. You know, and that's one of the biggest way of spreading the news is from the pulpit to the congregation. You know,
you're
from
right.
My pastors, you know,
what a great place to have a captive audience there, huh?
Right. And I've also found out and thought about this is and talking with some of my pastors around the city. The reason why some of them don't embrace the 12-step program is because it don't speak of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It speaks of God, but not our Savior, you know. It brings us to God, you know. So that's a conflict right there with the pastors, you see.
Well, what about people that's not their belief?
Well, that's another issue there, you know, because now you get to deal with the atheists and the bewildered ones, you know. And
well, what about the Buddhists and the Jews and the...
Right.
Wow. But I see what you're saying. If it's a Christian minister, they feel strongly that Jesus Christ needs to be mentioned next to the name God?
Right.
Ah.
Somewhere in that scenario.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well,
so therefore, they don't want to really bring it forth into that scenario within the congregation, from what I'm gathering, because a few of our churches have the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, set up in the churches, but you never hear it coming out of the pulpit that this is part taking place, you know.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. I never even thought about that.
Now, I've been working with this for a few years, and the program at Mount Olive, the Cocaine Anonymous meeting, was founded through myself and Pastor Lord Edwin. And he diligently believed that the 12-step program would bring one back to Christ.
Yes.
And it has in that particular church, you know. I mean, we've seen people that come up out of the pits of hell and life change, and they come into the church and started getting their life back in order, whereas they started growing in Christ. Other areas in their life started changing. They get married, and all of this took place right there in Mount Olive, Galilee, you know, as a result of that 12-step program being there.
Well, we need to have you come on and talk to us about what's going on at Mount Olive, because what Robert was saying, too, a lot of ministers don't know where to even send folks that they know are afflicted with addiction or alcoholism.
Well, you got have my sponsor right there with you.
Oh, my goodness. Now you tell me. All right. Well, then I know you're in good hands.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
Thanks for that insight. That's very interesting to know. And maybe that's where what Marvelline said, the education, because the 12 steps are all about taking you to that power.
Right. It'll take you to a different level.
Yes.
Commit yourself. You know,
yes.
You have to surrender, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it isn't that you're agnostic. I think addiction and alcoholism just strips you of your faith. You just stop praying. You think God screwed you over. What do you know, that you lost everything. You're not a bad person. You ended up in alcoholism. It's all God's fault.
Well, I've been on that page.
Right.
One phase of practicing out there, you know. And, but when we get back into the solution, you know, we see that it wasn't none of that, it was all self, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started finding ourselves. And that's the greatest thing about the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and all that 12-step program is they give you the opportunity to rediscover who you are as an individual, as a person,
mm-hmm.
as a result of them steps. Now, if you don't work through the process of the traditions, as far as speaking of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, if you don't work through that process, you won't be doing nothing but faking it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
Robert,
out of line, because as a result of that fifth step, you'll
mm-hmm.
never know who you are if you don't do that fourth step.
And that's what Robert, thank you. Yeah, Robert, you and I were talking before. The steps do make you take a look at yourself.
Right, yes. I like coming right quick before the show ends here on one thing that James had to say. You know, when he was talking about the preachers were not particularly interested in the program because the program didn't mention Jesus Christ. From what I would see in myself or would like to happen is any program that helps an individual towards working towards a relationship with God or Jesus Christ, whether it mentions it or not, if it gets them closer to them to get into that point, then
mm-hmm.
it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beneficiary, whether it mentions Jesus Christ or not.
And it's the power of God, yeah.
I found, for me, in a few days I've been around this program, everybody that's got in this program, got God working in their lives, realize
yes.
that God is God, and most of them will get back in the church.
Yes, absolutely.
It comes through the faith, it comes through the work. You know, it comes to the spiritual part of the program.
Right.
You know, the same spirituality that we have working in this program, we find working in the church.
Robert, you and I should come back and talk about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, because the old-timers struggled with that spiritual arrogance that, you know, that's why they branched away from the Oxford group, because
right.
they knew drunks' faith was shaken. You start preaching God too heavily to a newcomer that's just coming out of the fog,
right.
they're turned off at first.
Definitely. Yeah, because my old time you talk about God to me, and I say, God, no.
Yeah, where was God? Where was God when I was praying
right.
so hard?
Because yeah.
nobody wants to end up in an addiction or an alcohol.
No.
But you know, I found out as working with others that all of us have had some sort of contact with that power.
Yes.
Ourselves.
Yep.
You know, as
it's
kid,
the action.
Even we went astray.
Yep.
But we have all had, you know, as our family raised us, we have all had some sort of understanding about it, you know.
But you know what you just brought up? You just brought up a point that Robert said earlier, James, that only through action do we really find that God. It's through us doing, not just sitting in a pew praying.
Right.
You just said helping others helped you find that power.
Right.
Wow, that's heavy. That's awesome.
I really appreciate that.
James, you come visit us sometime, okay? I've heard a lot about you and all the awesome stuff you're doing, and we need Cocaine's Anonymous in town. Keep it going.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And may God continue to watch over you and that program there, too.
We hope so. We love it and appreciate it. And thanks for calling and listening.
I personally will keep you in prayer.
Good. And I'll keep Robert in line for you, too, all right?
Thank you much.
Thank you.
All right, good day to you.
You too. So, Robert, he came in with you in that hardcore AA. We were talking, we don't get that hardcore AA anymore.
No, not anymore, yeah. Shoot. Very little of it's around anymore, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to resent the heck out of it, but now I'm grateful to God I had it all.
Yep. Thank you.
Got me out of stuff in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your love for recovery, for clarifying some of this. It's like an onion, and it's just layer after layer. We have to keep going.
Keep plugging away at it.
Yep.
You're trying to, as he said, keep trying to help others, help ourselves.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And Mount Olive.
Congratulations for the year you've been on the air.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a great thing, and I think we've, and I say we because I've been with you through this, and I
yes.
think we've helped a lot of people.
I hope
we've
so.
We've got a lot of information out there anyhow.
And we,
also got a place, if you want to know anything else about recovery, please call Lisa Shore every weekend.
Absolutely. 1400 AM, here we are, or you can go to www.lisasifecares.net. You can go to any Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or Al-Anon meeting online and find out where those meetings are. You can get a hold of Robert at any of the 12-step meetings, KISS Group, Mount Olive. So, yeah, don't hesitate to call any of us and reach out, whoever you are. Next week, Robert's going to have incredible guests on here that used to use together cocaine and alcohol and now are clean and sober together. So that'll be awesome.
Yes, it will.
Yep. Thank you, Robert. Love you.
Thank you, Lisa. Love you, too.
Hey, you all, don't forget, between now and next week, do the next right thing.